Good morning, everyone. And we thank you again for joining our service. Today is the final message in our initial series, kicking off the year, How to Have a Great 2021. There are a lot of how-tos presented at this time as the calendar changes from year to year. I read about an interesting one a few days ago, how to create a fake commute. If you are wrestling with the dilemma that your professional life and your personal life have become very blended because they all happen in the same room under the same roof, the idea is that you get up in the morning, get dressed, take a few walks around your neighborhood as a commute to reset your mind and come home ready for your work day. I don't know whether that will really help or not. I suppose you can try. There are some how-tos I'd like to know about right now. How to remember how many Zoom meetings I've been in wearing the same shirt. How to have Krispy Kreme deliver at my doorstep regularly an infinite supply of donuts as my new health regimen. How to have a great 2021? Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. What will 2021 bring? Mary Lou and I, on New Year's Eve, watched on television the ball drop in Times Square, a rather surreal scene as there were no crowds gathered, no loud cheers from the surging masses like usual. We were ready for a new year, but as we now have been in this year, for about 3.5 weeks, I realize it's just as uncertain as last year was. And the dropping of the ball did not mean that the next day the coronavirus was gone, eradicated, life's normal, no masks, no social distancing. We can see each other again. The change of the calendar didn't mean that the social injustice issues that we face were resolved, fixed, hurts healed, total equality reached. So many unknowns. You know, this is a challenging topic. It's a challenging topic for me. Do not worry about tomorrow. When I was younger, I never thought of myself as a worrier. I always believed as we face challenges and uncertainties about the future that God was in control. He would work things out, and he always did. But the longer I live, the more I realize how acutely I'm aware of the uncertainty of tomorrow and how little control I have about tomorrow. Age-wise, I'm definitely the senior minister of our ministry staff, also the oldest of our elders. You'd think I had this figured out by now. Do not worry about tomorrow. But there's so many things that can consume our thoughts as we think about what's ahead. There are family things. I have 17 names that I pray for every morning in our family. One of them is my own, Mary Lou, our 3 children, their 3 spouses, the 9 grandchildren that they've given us. The oldest will soon be 22. The youngest just turned 9. I love each of them so dearly. I have to mention that Anchor for the Soul a few moments ago was led by Koda Gersoy, one of our grandsons. What does the future hold for them? What will their lives be like? What will our church be like? What will our country be like? I don't know. As I grow older, too, there are more concerns about the future health-wise. Mary Lou has a chronic health condition. It's not life-threatening, but it's life-changing. My dad passed away almost 10 years ago. The last few years of his life, he was plagued by debilitating dementia. Oh, very hard on him, very hard on us who loved him. His older brother experienced that. Now his younger brother is experiencing that. Is that what's ahead for me? I have to tell you, every once in a while when I can't remember a name, which is probably more frequently than I want to admit, the thought passes my mind briefly, uh-oh, is it starting for me? And I'm always glad when the computer brain clicks in and the name comes to mind. What's ahead? What's ahead for our church? My life is so wrapped up in the life of our church. Will we be able to continue to grow, to love each other, to overcome the hurts, to overcome the challenges, to reach more people? What's our future? We'll be able to have enough young people raised up to be the future leaders of our church. I know many of you who are listening this morning are young, relatively young. I may sound to you like a cynical old man. Life is hard and it just gets worse. I don't really believe that. But I do know that the longer we live, the more we are aware of how many things we don't know about tomorrow. More than 30 years ago, there was a very popular song that said, don't worry, be happy. That's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? But as always, Jesus has the answer. In Matthew 6, in what we've come to call the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble. Let God take care of tomorrow. You know, in order to not worry about the future, sometimes we have to turn loose of the past. If I'm consumed about things that have happened to me in the past, I may be paralyzed as I try to face the future. If I'm thinking about hurts that I've received or given, I may be worried that those kinds of things will happen again. What about our church? We went through a time of challenge. Will that happen again? I'm not saying the past isn't important or the past doesn't shape us. But Jesus said earlier in this chapter, in what we've come to call the model prayer, give us today our daily bread. You and I can be stuck in the past that makes us afraid and worried about tomorrow, the future. Turn loose of the past. Sometimes that means forgiveness. Jesus also said in that prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Got to let the past grow. Got to let the future go. Don't worry about tomorrow. What good does it do? Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Somebody said it's corny but true. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never really gets you anywhere. Jesus isn't saying that we are just oblivious to what's ahead, that we just don't care, that we make no plans whatsoever. I remember a young evangelist years ago telling his church that it was wrong to have a savings account. You just needed to trust in God. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying to us. You know, the church in Thessalonica apparently misunderstood, at least some of them, what Paul was saying when he was talking about Jesus coming again. And they were great. We'll just kind of wait. And so in the second letter, Paul said, no, there's some things that need to happen before he comes again. If you don't work, you don't eat. God expects us to do the things that we can do to provide for our families, whether it's education, whether it's advancement in our careers. But that's different from worrying about those things over which we have no control. Have we not learned in these past few months that we do not control the future? So how do we not worry? How do we not worry about tomorrow? Jesus gives the key here. Two things. God has a plan and God has promises. God has a plan. Jesus talks about the birds and the flowers. He says the birds don't plant crops. They don't harvest them. They don't put them in a barn for winter time. But God takes care of them. It was God's plan that the birds would somehow know how to provide for themselves. Their needs would be met. God had a plan for the birds. He has a plan for the flowers. Jesus said, don't you think you matter more to him than the birds and the plants? The challenge for us is, we only see today. We don't see what God sees. We don't see his bigger plan. But he has one. He has a plan for us, just like for the birds and the plants. But then Jesus also says, God has promises. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, get your priorities right. Keep your priorities right. God, his kingdom, the decisions we make, the life decisions, the financial decisions, where we invest the most of our time, our effort, our energy, our hearts, if they're for God, if they're for his kingdom, Jesus said, God's going to take care of you. That's his promise. So you and I don't worry, because God has a plan and he has his promises. And so we live confidently in an uncertain time with an uncertain future because we have an anchor for our souls. That song that we sang earlier, Anchor for the Soul, was written by our son Brian quite a few years ago. The circumstances of its writing were Brian was invited to go to a retreat as a worship leader and as a performer. And as he was being taken from the airport to the retreat site, the organizer of the retreat said to him, do you think you could write a song, a theme song for this retreat? Now, the retreat was the next day. And Brian said, I'm not sure I can do that in this short notice. I'll think about it, pray about it, I'll try. That night, on the beach, on the ocean, where the retreat was to take place, was a terrific storm. Thunder, lightning. And that storm inspired Brian to write Anchor for the Soul, Shelter from the Storm. The thunder and lightning can be very frightening, but God is in control. That's why we don't worry about tomorrow, because God is in control. He has a plan. He has promises. Let me give you a little assignment. Whatever you're studying in your personal Bible study, I want to encourage you in the next few days to read the little letter to the church in Philippi. Because in Philippians, we see Paul, who admonishes us to have the attitude that Christ had about life, about himself. We see how Paul turned loose of the past, the hurts, the mistakes, the victories. We see his confidence about the future, even potentially facing death. We see his contentment about today, knowing that he had an anchor for the soul. And as we take communion, paraphrasing Paul in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, what more can God do to show us his commitment to us than giving his son? He didn't spare his son. Will he not also graciously along with him give us all things? The cross means God gives us forgiveness. He gives us his spirit. He loves us. Let's pray as we take the bread and the cup. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can be free from worry. We can overcome worry as we belong to you. Thank you for your plan for our lives. Thank you for your promises. But thank you for the cross. Thank you for this bread and cup that remind us of what Jesus did for us, of what you did for us, that we are free, that we're forgiven. Help us as we take it now, truly to reflect, to remember, to be grateful, to recommit to you. Thank you for this time of communion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.